Daniel chapter 7. 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings. The words extracted from verse 24 of Daniel chapter 7, which form the introduction of the theme to our devotion tonight. We want to rehearse and look at the four human kingdoms that were illustrated from verses 1 to 8, and then the coming kingdom from verses 9 to 14, and how Daniel would interpret all this through the angel that gave him the interpretation from verses 15 to 28. You see how the kingdom of God will come upon earth in verses 15 to 18, 26 to 28. And lastly, the fourth beast explained verses 19 to 25. Daniel was given a vision of the future. He was given a vision of the world empires that will culminate in Christ's second coming and the establishment of the millennial kingdom. We are speaking of momentous events that are unfolding before our very eyes. And you see that in our study that the previous visions were given to kings and Daniel interpreted. But now the vision is given to Daniel himself, and he had to sought the Lord for illumination. This prophecy was given in 553 BC. Was the time when Belshazzar was ruling. Remember, we were studying about Belshazzar, how his rule ended in Daniel chapter 5, when the Medo-Persians took over. So we are moving a little bit back in time here in this second section of the book of Daniel, starting from chapter 7 to chapter 12, the first section from chapter 1 to chapter 6. This second section of the book gives to us the four final prophetic visions that Daniel will receive from God. And it is the most profitable study for us because we are living in those times where the events have taken place. We have chronological history to give to us the validity, the veracity of how God's word has been fulfilled so clearly and fully, and how it will be fulfilled again. This morning we were studying Genesis chapter 7 concerning the preparation for the flood, and how the flood came just precisely at that time to the last day, 600th year, 2nd month, 17th day. It was recorded of Noah's life. Noah and his family went into the ark. The animals went in. Then judgment came. And so as you study prophetic scripture, you will be able to see how God is so true to his word, and how we need to know the will of God for our protection. Imagine the people who perished during Noah's time without the truth, or when they knew the truth, they would not receive the truth. They mocked, they scorned. But God doesn't want us to live that way, because his words are given to us for our blessing, for our protection. And so Daniel was given that privilege to unravel the future. So we are speaking about momentous events. And you know, we are moving towards the 10 toes. This is a pictorial description. This chart gives to us the world empires at a glance. And we are here, going here. Right? We have seen in human history the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian, the Roman Empire, this is modern day Iraq, this is modern day Turkey, this is modern day Greece and Rome, and how this revived Roman Empire would be emphasized in chapter 7. You see that in chapter 2, it was given the image of a man. And here in chapter 7, it is a different description. Right? We saw the image of the man in Daniel chapter 2 to describe the human kingdoms. Right? From man's point of view, it is like that. Very glorious. But from God's point of view, in chapter 7, you see how ferocious, right, a description of how beastly human kingdoms are. It's a description of the human heart. And so you see the contrast in the two chapters. And in Daniel chapter 2, you see the great monument that depicted the human achievements without God, and how they would eventually amount to nothing. You remember that the stone that would come to break the entire statue, and it would be crushed into pieces, and the wind would come and blow it away. And that is human, a description of human kingdom. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ taught us, you know, we were studying the Sermon on the Mount, and he told us in chapter 6, how we are not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, how that moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But rather, we are to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the question is asked to us, where is your heart? Is your heart in the world? We ask this to our young people. Many of them, after they begin work, before they begin work, you would see them at prayer meeting, you would see them serving the Lord, and after that, you would find that, you know, they would be wrestling with the demands of this world. And so as you study and as you look at the empires of the world that Daniel speaks about, you would be able to see the frailty and of human kingdoms. And here you would see the debauchery, how evil it is. Verse 2, as we look at the four human kingdoms illustrated. The first, from verses 2 to 4, the lion with eagle's wings. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, four winds of the heaven strode upon a great sea. The great sea in biblical symbolism pictures fallen humanity. It's a description of the sea of human lives through human history. And the four winds of heaven speaks of the angelic forces through which God controls and moves the nation. God is in control, right? And he moves humanity through his angels, the ministering spirits. And if you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are 120 references of the Bible to the word wind, a description of it, and you'll find that over half of it is personified as reflecting the sovereignty and power of God. And then you also see from in verse 3 the description of how the four beasts came out of the sea, diverse one from another. So each one is different from the other, and this picture faintly gives to us what you know God is trying to paint to Daniel. Right? Jeremiah described Nebuchadnezzar as a lion from the thicket of the Jordan. Right? It's a picture of the overflowing waters of Jordan during springtime that drove the lions from its thickets to devour men in the surrounding villages. Proverbs 22:13 and 26:13. It's a description of the first empire. And the first, verse 4 says, was like a lion and had wings, eagle's wings, and I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and were lifted up from the earth, and made to stand upon the feet as a man, as a man's heart was given to him. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth. You remember in Daniel chapter 4, we were being given the picture of how God chastised Nebuchadnezzar, how he was chastened by God, and how God did let him see that he is not the sovereign ruler of the universe, but God is, and how we need to submit to the rule of God in our lives, and how you see Daniel was before his conversion was led by God through 7 years of beast-like insanity. This is what verse end of verse 4 is describing. As a man that stood upon as a feet, and a man's heart was given to it. It was a beastly heart in the sense that he was a very cruel man. The way he killed, the way he plundered when he came to Jerusalem to destroy the temple. We can see the beastly nature of this man. And so it was a description of the Babylonian Empire and how Nebuchadnezzar was the head. Then from in verse 5 you see the second beast, the Medo-Persian Empire. Behold, another beast, the second, like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth, of it, between the teeth of it, and they said unto it, arise, devour much flesh. So this corresponds to the silver arms of Daniel's image. Okay, you look back, this is the silver arms, right? And the bear with the three ribs. Okay, so you see the correspondence, that the corresponding picture. Right? The bear is less majestic and swift than the lion, right? To describe how the Medo-Persian Empire is less of the aura that it was in during the Babylonian Empire. See, if you were to study the ancient history and you see the architecture that went on, you'll be able to see how glorious the Babylonian Empire was and how the Medo-Persian was a far cry from it. Then three ribs alluded to the three great conquests of the Medo-Persians under Cyrus and his son Cambyses. They conquered Lydia, they conquered Babylon, and they conquered Egypt. And so all these were recorded in human history, and how these were fulfilled in verse 6. After this I beheld, lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given it. So this corresponds to the tie of bronze in Daniel chapter 2. Right? You remember the picture? The pie here of bronze. It describes the Grecian Empire, right, of Alexander the Great, which grew at incomparable speed. How he conquered the Medo-Persian Empire under Darius III and his empire, and swept through Syria, through Palestine, through Egypt, and all the eastern territories, even to the borders of India. And then he thought that he has conquered the whole world. And then he fell sick, and then he died, right, on his way back. And then verse 7 to 8 gives the Roman Empire, the beast with 10 horns and the little horn. And you'll see and notice that here in Daniel chapter 7, the emphasis is a description of the Antichrist. The Lord wants to bring to us that picture of who the Antichrist is, how he would arise. And you see here in Daniel chapter 7 an emphasis of who the Antichrist would be. And after I saw in the night visions, verse 7, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had strong teeth, iron teeth, and it devoured and break in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So this fourth beast describes the Roman Empire, identified as the iron that extends to the 10 toes. Right? And the form and is described as dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. Verse 7. And the form and nature of the beast, you'll notice, is not given here. Right? The first three beasts, you can see clearly that it has a resemblance to an animal. But this fourth one, it's left for the imagination to fill up. Right? It is a beast more terrific in its appearance than either of the others, and was evidently a monster such as could not be designated by any single name. And so the terms used to describe this beast is dreadful, terrible, exceedingly strong. And these are mere synonymous descriptions put together to give to us the impressive picture of terror that is inspired by this fourth beast. And because here the Lord wants to emphasize the rise of the Antichrist. And the rise of the Antichrist, the empire of the Antichrist. And so, as you look at it, you see how this kingdom, right, verse 23 tells us, we move all the way down, you see, it says, will devour the whole earth and tread it down and break it in pieces. So as a symbol, it would denote some power, much more fearful, much more dreadful, right, much wider dominion. It says here that it would devour the whole earth. So it would have, you would notice that all the other empires were not of that nature as far as we could see from human history. But here in the fourth one, you see it's the severe nature of its power and terror. And this is what the commentator Barnes described for us. Then it is told to us that in verse that it has 10 horns at the end of verse 7. The horn in the Bible represents power, political or military power. Right? The horn gives an animal a regal look, okay? And it provides an impressive mechanism that represent power. Right? If you look at the horn, of an animal, you see that it brings forth that kind of a aura. And that's how God created things. You see, like the way God created the sheep, the lamb, how it is so passive, it will not resist, you know, when it's being when a predator comes upon it. And each one of these animals are so different. And if you look at the horse, for example, the horse is also very different. The horse is very courageous. And if you look at the way the horse charges in battle, it doesn't look back, it doesn't stop, it just go ahead. And so, you know, when you look at the animals in the animal kingdom, God makes them in a way that wants to reveal certain characteristics, certain aspect of character. And so as you study, as you look at it, you'll be able to understand and see some things that God wants to bring to us. And here the 10 horns represent power. Okay? Understood in the light of Daniel 2, we see a corresponding description of the 10 toes of 10 horns, and that they are 10 kings. Verse 34, the interpretation tells us, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. So there has been suggestions, right, by biblical commentators what these 10 kings are. There are suggestions that it consists of the nations of the European Union, right? And here I bring for you another suggestion, the suggestion of the 10 regional nations. Okay? For your consideration also. Well, these are suggestions as we study the events around us in the light of Scripture. Right, we see and notice how that fourth kingdom is diverse and will devour the whole earth. And if you were to look at the Roman Empire and how it is evolving itself in our days, how the Roman system is so much of the world system as a result of colonization, you see some things there. And if you were to notice how the world indeed moving in that direction of regional grouping, right, you'll be able to see here some pictures for you how the European Union has been formed, right, and how that the European Union that was formed is that first bloc. Okay, a news article, 5th of September 2011, says, as the stock and bond markets seem eerily similar to the dark days of 2008, Jean-Claude Trichet and Mario Draghi, the current and incoming chiefs of the European Central Bank, pointedly urged European leaders to move quickly to ensure that the European Eurozone debt crisis does not become seriously worse. And Europe needs to make a quantum leap up in economic and political integration. And so Draghi said that the bond yields of Greece and Italy and other countries with weak finances jumped on Monday amidst investor fears that such efforts might be failing. He and Trichet addressed the forum in Paris focused on the world 3 years after the collapse of Lehman Brothers. As you look at it, you look at verse 25, how this integration would culminate in the rise of the Antichrist, the 11th horn out of the 10 horn, and how he would speak great swelling words. And these great swelling words that were spoken, right, is a description of the Antichrist. Now we move a little bit forward. Verse 8, now we go back again. Verse 8. I consider the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, this horn were eyes like the eyes of men, and mouth speaking great things. So the Antichrist, the little horn that will arise after the 10 kings of Daniel 7:24, would vanquish 3 kings. And the Bible says that, described him in verse 11 as very intelligent, describing the eyes. I beheld the voice of the great words which speak, and how they will persecute the saints, verse 25 of Daniel 7, and they would subjugate and control Israel, and will be finally judged by God. And we have a picture here of this for us, of the 7-year tribulation at the end of the church age, how the rapture will take place, and then the beginning of the 7-year great tribulation. You see the Antichrist arising, and then it will really culminate in the middle of the 7 years, when it would break the peace treaty with Israel. During the middle of the 7-year tribulation, with a temporal peace that will take place. Okay? Then, from verses 9 to 11, is a description of the heavenly kingdom. Heavenly kingdom. Verse 9 to verse 10:8. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garments were white as snow, and the hair of his head were like pure wool, and his throne like as unto a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were opened. And so here is a description of worship in heaven, right? Of the glorified saints which were before the Father on his throne. Right? You see here, I would give you this picture. Right? You would be able to see this in the light of the book of Revelation. Okay, how there are two events that are described. The first event, Daniel chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, you'll be able to see the description of the worship in heaven after the rapture. Right? Remember Revelation chapter 1 to 3, we studied the seven churches. And after, at the end of it, chapter 4 begins the worship in heaven. And that's the beginning of the rapture. Okay, so this rapture took place, and here in verse 9 is a description of the worship that is in heaven. After the saints were taken up to glory, and they were worshipping before the Father, and you see also at the end of chapter verse 10 how the books were opened. So you see a movement all the way from here to here. The great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment will come after the 1,000-year rule of Christ upon earth. Right? That is the great white throne judgment. How the books were opened. And Revelation chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, gives to us this what happened when the books were opened. Verse 11 of Revelation 20 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, and which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." And so here a description of the end of the human empire, how the Antichrist arise. When will the Antichrist arise? After the rapture, during the time of the tribulation. Okay, the Antichrist will arise, and the Antichrist would garner the armies of the world to fight against Israel, and this will culminate at the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon is on the plain of Megiddo, right? The flattest plain in Israel, whereby the armies of the world over through all history pass through in order to reach Jerusalem. And so the armies of the world will march all the way from the east, and they will come down the plain of Megiddo, and there they will fight the last battle, the Battle of Armageddon, before they reach Jerusalem. Because once they win this battle, the next stop is Jerusalem. And so Christ at that point would come. Right? Christ would come, and Christ would defeat the Antichrist, right, to establish his millennial rule, his thousand-year rule on earth. Okay, so verse 11 says, "And I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, and I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame." So here we are describing the tribulation period. So Daniel is given a glimpse. But when we study the book of Revelation, we'll be able to see the whole picture, right, chronologically given to us. Okay? So this episode comes when Christ returns with his saints to defeat the Antichrist and his army. Revelation 19 verse 20 says, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." So the burning flame here, how the body was destroyed, in the beast was slain in verse 11, is a description, right? And the fourth beast is destroyed by the stone that smashes the feet of the iron and the clay, right? That stone, right, that is cut without hands, right, is the coming of Jesus Christ. That's the second coming, when Christ would come with his saints. So the rapture is the silent coming of Christ, when he did not come on earth. Right? The second coming of Christ, Christ would come to the Mount of Olives, and how the Mount of Olives would split, right? The entire promised land would be reconstructed again, how the Dead Sea would be flowing with life again. Okay? And then verse 12 says, "And as the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time." So this is a description of the existence of Greece, of Iraq, of Turkey, that has no significant power in the world stage. And this is what it is, right? You look at Greece, Greece is really in trouble. Turkey and Iraq was invaded, right? Verse 13, "And I saw in the night visions, and beheld one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him." Jesus, the Son of Man, God's Son, right? Fully man, yet fully God, was bestowed the kingdom from the Father. How Psalm 2 is fulfilled. "But yet I have set," verse 6 to 9 of Psalm 2 says, "my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, and the Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." And so how, you know, Christ would come, and Christ would bring forth that the millennial kingdom upon earth. And so verse 14 says, "And there was given him glory and dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all the people, nations, and languages shall serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom which shall not be destroyed." So this Daniel chapter 2, the stone that came and hit the entire the edifice of the human empires would culminate in the reign of Christ, when Christ would come, defeat the Antichrist, and begin his millennial rule upon earth. And he would rule for 1,000 years upon earth, literally. And that is what Daniel is speaking here. You see, why is Daniel speaking about these things? Why is it that the church age is bypassed? Because you find that the description is about Israel, you see. Daniel wanted to find out what is the future for his people, Israel. And you see that over the last 2,000 years, Israel disappeared from the earth, right? They were scattered all over. It is only in 1948, 14th of May, that Israel became a nation again. And that's where the prophetic clock began ticking again. And that's where, you know, Bible prophecy is fulfilling itself. So Daniel was being given a picture of the future of Israel. So you will see that in the next few chapters, he would be able to, you know, God would reveal to him what is Israel's future. He wanted to know, because they were captives, right, in Babylon after 70 years. They are going to return to Israel. Then what, you see? What is my future? We all want to know. And God tells us in no uncertain terms, right, what our future will be. And so as we think about how God revealed the truth concerning the future to Daniel, you'll find that this truth is unraveling itself today before our eyes in our generation, more than 2,500 years later. You see how God's word is fulfilled as He has said, and that God's word is given for the protection of God's people, that we may know how to live our lives. And so may we be assured that a time of persecution will come, right? But you find how the world, the church, would be protected, would be taken to safety, taken away in safety, right, before the rise of it. Let us watch and be ready. For the time is near when our Lord must come. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for Thy word. Lord, we want to praise Thee for giving to us the truth concerning the future of planet Earth. O God, we want to praise and thank Thee for how Thou art a great God who knows the end from the beginning, and how Thou hast deemed it fit to reveal it to us so that we may know what the future holds for us. Lord, You have given to Daniel only a glimpse of the future, but You have given to us through Thy word the complete revelation concerning the future. O God, may Thou help us to know the signs of the times and to live in view of the signs of the time. And our Lord tells us that we are living in the days of Noah before God's final judgment will come. So Lord, may Thou help us to be awakened from our spiritual slumber to know how to order our lives in truth, in righteousness, and awaiting Thy soon return. O God, may Thou help us to fulfill the gospel mandate that Thou hast given to us in this age, as was in Noah's age, how he shared Thy word when the ark was being built until the ark was completed. O God, may Thou help us to prepare and prepare well, for as the prophetic clock ticks towards Thy soon return. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.